This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning, Shazana Mokhtar and Philip C. It is 7:36 Wednesday, the 9th of March. Continuing our coverage on the war in Ukraine, it's been, slightly less than 2 weeks, and the largest country in the world has now become the most sanctioned nation, and that is, of course, Russia. Sanctions on this country led by the US and European allies have increased to more than 5,500 at the moment, exceeding Iran, which has more than 3,600 sanctions over the course of a decade.
One of the biggest surprises came from the exclusion of several Russian banks from the SWIFT payment gateway. And now the US has announced that it will immediately ban new purchases of Russian fossil fuels, while the UK will be banning oil but allow natural gas and coal from the country. As Russia supplies around 25% of Europe's crude oil import, the other European nations will not be participating in these sanctions for now. But can the EU afford to weaponize energy? And to what extent have these sanctions impacted Russia's economy?
To find out, we speak to Tatiana Orlova, who's a lead emerging market economist at Oxford Economics, for some answers. Thank you for joining us this morning. Now, Western countries and allies have imposed the harshest sanctions on Russia over the past week. But what do you think the impact has been on their economy? And maybe give us a little bit of a view in terms of which sanctions are the most damaging.
The most damaging wave of Western sanctions was announced on Monday, 28th of February. They included banning Russian banks from SWIFT, the international payment messaging system, and also the freeze of assets of the Russian central bank. These sanctions resulted in a sharp depreciation of the ruble and further drops in Russian markets. The central bank had to react with a huge rate hike. The policy rate was increased to 20% to prevent a further run on the ruble. So this is just the beginning of a new crisis, which is now going to unfold, because these sanctions also prevent the Russian authorities from using the FX proceeds from quite a considerable part of Russian exports. The sanctions also include the Russian Central Bank, Finance Ministry, and the National Welfare Fund. So they are already creating a background for a sovereign default, which rating agencies are now expecting. All of them have lowered Russia's sovereign debt rating very sharply to near default levels. So we have already heard the announcements from the Russian government that sovereign debt will be repaid in rubles, which I think will possibly constitute technically an event of default.
So, Tatiana, you know, much has been said about the oligarchs. So how much do sanctions impact the Russian elite versus the ordinary Russians on the street? And can international sanctions be more targeted towards the wealthy oligarchs?
Well, I don't think it's the right way of looking at it. Yes, the sanctions lists include names of the wealthiest Russians, but these are business leaders who have massive businesses in Russia, which employ millions of people. So if any harm comes to these businesses, then inevitably there will be consequences for the Russians who work for these companies. Some of them can lose their job. And I think generally the population is going to suffer from in the aftermath of these sanctions. As I said, the ruble has depreciated very sharply. There will be much higher inflation this year. Oxford Economics has increased its forecast for average inflation for this year from 7% to about 15%, and this may not be the end. So there will be a lot of consequences for ordinary Russians who have nothing to do with these oligarchs, and the whole country will suffer.
Tatiana, the EU plans to cut gas dependence on Russia by 80% this year. How quickly can they pivot, and how would this impact Russia in the short and long run?
The EU can pivot, but it will take some time. The countries in the EU which are most dependent on Russian gas, such as Germany, for example, simply do not have infrastructure which is needed to pivot right now. If the Germans decided not to buy Russian gas tomorrow, they would not be able to receive gas because, for example, they do not have LNG terminals to receive LNG cargoes. The infrastructure in Germany is made for receiving pipeline gas. So it would take quite a while.
So, Tatiana, what measures can Russia take to cushion the fallout from these sanctions? The Bank of Russia already has doubled its key interest rate to 20%. Do you foresee further rate hikes?
I don't think at the moment there is a need for further hikes. The hike seems to be working. One of its objectives was to increase the attractiveness of deposits in Russian banks. So Russian banks have also increased their deposit rates. And I have heard from the ground that Russians are actually queuing at bank branches to put their rubles in deposits, which currently pay about 21% for short-term deposits. So they're trying to protect their rubles from ruble savings from inflation. And this measure seems to be preventing a bank run. And also, the central bank has provided more liquidity to local banks. The government has announced all kinds of support measures, for example, a fund which will be used to pay people who lose their jobs. But still, if there is a sovereign default and it's combined with a significant loss of export revenues, I think that that is going to be quite a considerable shock.
In the next few weeks, Russia is due to pay for its bonds. But we all know the reserves are frozen by the West. So is a major debt default in Russia inevitable? You know, could this have a contagion effect on the global market?
Oh, well, if we just look at the at relatively recent history, Russia had a default in 1998 on its local debt. And that was quite a big economic shock, and the economy fell into recession. So I guess we can expect a recession now in Russia. This year we have cut our growth forecast for Russia from plus 3.2% for this year to about minus 1%. But this is just an intermediary forecast. I think we will probably look into cutting it further to reflect a deeper recession.
That was Tatiana Olova, lead emerging market economist at Oxford Economics, telling us about the state of the Russian economy and the impact that the sanctions have had on them. But also, we are getting news that US and UK have banned Russian oil imports, squeezing Putin. And so they will start doing this. And it's probably going to impact the Russian economy even further because oil is their main artery of their economy.
I mean, that's why Tatiana was saying she had earlier forecasted a plus 3%, revised it to minus 1%. But even there, I think they're going to do another revision downwards. We are talking about the 11th largest economy in the world really suffering a collapse here. And these sanctions ever applied to an economy this size, I don't think you've seen at this scale before.
Right. So recession is pretty much inevitable at this point, but to what extent? And Tatiana made the point that as much as you want to see the rich oligarchs being targeted, even when we target them, the effect will be on the man on the street regardless. There's no really way to target the sanctions. The effects are just, it blankets the whole country. Yeah. And we can see the effect even sort of indirect. So companies like McDonald's, H&M, they've all said that they've closed their stores there. They're not operating in the country anymore. That all has an effect on the ordinary Russian on the street. So it's going to be devastating to the economy, regardless what happens.
Yeah. So aside from the fact that you can't buy McDonald's anymore, what about the people who used to work at McDonald's? What about the people who used to work at H&M? Have they also then lost their jobs, right? So there is definitely a trickle-down effect in terms of the sanctions. It's probably going to be long drawn affair because even if, let's say, conflict in Ukraine comes to a grinding halt, it's not like these sanctions are going to be removed.
I have to say that when we were talking to Pavel earlier about nuclear war, it reminded me something about something I read about sanctions as well. Sanctions are most effective before they're actually applied. So the threat of sanctions is what gets countries to act or react. Once they're in place, they're very difficult to undo. And so what's the end game here?
And that's why these oil sanctions are very important, because think about it, oil and gas accounts for nearly 40% of Russia's federal budget revenue and nearly up to 50 to 60% of its GDP.
Well, let's see how this long-drawn affair really bears out. And unfortunately, it will be the ordinary Russians who will be paying the price for these sanctions at the moment. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.